You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record, rain, or shine. Grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 268 of the NYYST podcast, brought to you by NYY News TV. I'm your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
Yep.
And SGR.
What up?
All right. It's Monday night. We're delayed a day. Chris had a little incident with his tum-tum. Ryan wasn't feeling good either.
I had a Tyler Wade incident, but both ends.
It's been a rough month, dude. Maybe we should have never went to NYY News TV. Maybe we should have shut it down, bro.
Maybe.
Like, we're all, like, we've all taken turns almost dying.
Like, it's Final Destination almost.
Well, Ryan started it, right? Ryan started it.
I escaped death first.
And then it was like someone, you're pretty Italian, Christian, right? You're pretty Italian. You say tweeted it. They got the Maloik on us. Is that something that would go around in your house? You hear your grandmother say that shit? Put the Maloik on you?
My grandmother's, she's dead, so she doesn't say much these
Jesus
days.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I meant when you were growing up.
All right. Okay. Right. So that was pre? That was, wait a minute. So you had your health scare post when we switched, or was that before?
It was pre because it was November. It was right around Thanksgiving.
That was like 3 months ago already.
But we had already committed, so technically, we could still blame it on NYY News.
Like 2 months ago, a little over two.
Can we file a lawsuit for this?
Yeah, sure.
Workers' comp.
They're liable.
Can we get comp?
Can we get comp
compensation for this?
Wow.
Compilations.
Ooh, did someone say compilation?
Pete's editing all this out of the episode.
Do you want to do a little bookkeeping and then we'll get into the show or no?
Sure. This episode, obviously presented to you by MYY News TV, is also sponsored by our patrons at patreon.com/MYYST. Please help support the show. It's as low as $5 a month for some extra content, which we need to really get going on once the season starts. I promise that will be worth your while. Again, patreon.com/MYYST, and we appreciate all the new reviews we've gotten in the last week or so. Please keep heading over to Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen. Stop, subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Spotify, head over to the YouTube channel if you want to watch our ugly asses, MYY News TV, YouTube, and subscribe and smash that like.
Chris's mom really appreciates the new reviews.
She does.
Whose mom?
Ryan's mom doesn't, Chris's mom. But my mom does.
Chris's mom, definitely.
Did someone say something about my mom in the reviews?
I don't know. I don't go on there.
I didn't see.
So this is Much Ado About Nothing. It came out today and people were making a big deal about it, that there was a report that came out that said MLB is no longer going to drug test the players. And it's because they
drug test for what?
Steroids.
Okay.
So you actually go into the article and read it, you know, you take 2 minutes to actually educate yourself on something. And because they're in a lockout, they can't agree to a new drug testing deal. And it's not like, even if they were still in the agreement that they did 20 years ago, people say there's no way that they would be able to enforce it during a lockout anyway. They couldn't be like, oh, you can't go to work, but we're still going to drug test you.
So is it a free-for-all this year?
It might be a free-for-all this year. Look, we talked about this last week when we talked about Ortiz in the Hall of Fame. I'm all for steroids. So if you guys want to shoot up, shoot the balls up too. Let's get the pitchers, use some stick 'em. Let's go.
Get the pine tar on the ball.
Sticky stuff for the pitchers.
Load it up.
Sticky stuff for the pitchers.
I like it.
Steroids for the batters. And, you know, we'll juice the ball. We'll juice balls and juice balls, you know?
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't care, dude. Just get the fucking game back on the field. And again, like I always say, like we've been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks, I don't want to deep dive this shit. It's monotonous. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with people that are taking one side over the other. Like you're just too to see that both sides are at fault here. Last week, the players and owners met. Then they met again. The owners walked away, said, let's go to mediation. Basically, the players said, fuck you. The shit didn't work in 94. What makes you think it's going to work now? We're supposed to go to spring training next week. That shit's not going to happen. Don't fuck with opening day. Get your shit together before opening day. I think I had the date wrong last week. I think it's actually March 31st, right? There's 31 days in
Yeah.
I believe the Yankees, yeah, let's just look this up real quick so we're on the same page here. Opening day is supposed to be March 34th. March 31st at 4 o'clock in Texas. That's supposed to be opening day. Do not fuck with that. I don't care what the hell you two sides do. Up until that point, do not fuck with that day. If I'm not sitting down with my kid watching, fuck, I guess it would be DJ LeMahieu, right? Would be leading off. It's an away game, right?
I don't know.
It's an away
maybe
game.
Luke so Voigt. Maybe it'd be Luke Voigt.
Oh, my God. Fuck
could be Judge.
Me,
could be Judge.
Could be.
It could
be. Who's going to play shortstop? Maybe that guy.
At 4:05. Eastern Standard Time. If I'm not watching a New York Yankee step into the fucking batter's box at Globe Life Park, then I'm going to lose my shit.
Bro, can I be honest with you? I don't think you're going to. I don't think you're going to be at this point. I really don't. I think it's all delayed. It's almost as if you have two. Look, I hate always saying like this is how the world works now, but it's true. Like, when you try and debate with someone or give someone your perspective and shit like that, you know there's certain people that it doesn't matter what you say, you're just wasting your time, right? It goes both ways, that you're not going to change your views. That's all this has been the whole time, right? No one's changing where they are. How much negotiation have you really seen? Not much. Yeah, it's all theater at this point.
Like the teams take the players to arbitration, why can't the two sides go to an arbiter and just, that's it. Whatever the arbiter says is what it is.
Because they both know what they're both asking for is bullshit.
So then that's why you meet in the middle. That's why when
players say, no, it's fair.
That's why when Aaron Judge goes to arbitration, he asks for $20 million. And Yankees say, you know, we'll pay you $12 million. And then the arbiter says, well, you know what? I'm looking at X, Y, and Z. You're worth $17 million. So mediation will look. I thought at when I first heard it, I took it as a good step, but it doesn't mean shit because it's not legally binding. So the mediator can say whatever the hell he wants to, and it doesn't matter. Neither side has to hold up to it. But if it's arbitration, then they have to adhere to it.
But look, here's why the owners want the middleman, because they want someone. Because they're the evil ones, right? No matter what they say, they're always going to be The evil ones. Uh-huh. And I really think at this point, the players are the ones at fault. Sorry. And this is why the players are so against it, because maybe it won't help them come to an agreement, but it's going to take all the pressure off the owners. Right? If the middleman comes out and says, look, this is pretty fair, it's going to lean more towards what the owners are saying, and then the players say no, now the players are completely at fault. And the players won't have that.
The players.
Here's a great tweet by Max Scherzer. I think this says it all. It really does. And this is what kind of sparked me to just be like, you know what? I'm done with the players right now. I got to put them away. I'm not saying the owners aren't at fault too. Sorry. The owners are spiteful pricks. Okay, let's get that straight. But the players are being entitled whiny bitches. Okay, here's a tweet from Max Scherzer. I swear to God, it was almost like I was trying to break up a fight between my 4-year-old and my 10-year-old. This is really what it sounds like. He tweeted, "We don't need mediation because what we are offering to MLB is fair for both sides." Okay, Max. Like, are you fucking out of your mind? That's not how this works. You don't just get to sit there and say it's fair for both sides, and then that's it. And you think that's just the end all be all. Like, obviously, that's your perspective, Max. Obviously, that's the player's perspective. If it were that simple, we wouldn't be here. If it were as simple to say, no, it's fair, owners. No, MLB, it's fair to both sides. We're good. We wouldn't be here. Okay? Of course you think it's fair. Of course you do. And I'm not saying that it's not. I'm not sitting here making judgment. Okay? Sorry. I can't get a full sentence out. My chest is like collapsing.
Well, here's what, you know, and this is a lot of
while people I hit my vape.
100% pro player. You know, Jameson Taillon tweets this to Jeff Passan earlier in the week, and he says, if the goal is to get the players on the field, then why did it take them 43 days after the lockout to hear from us or for them to
make an offer?
Want to talk.
Well, I agree with that too. I mean, I think the owners sat on their hands.
They both are at fault here. Like, there's no, I don't care. Like, if you're sitting there saying the owners are evil, they're billionaires, they're evil, and the players, oh, they're so poor and blah, blah. No, you can't. It's not 100% either way. Both sides are definitely at fault here.
Both sides are at fault. Both sides are playing this game like it's theater. They're tweeting out dramatic tweets of people making $40 million. They changed their they all changed their profile pics to the blank free agent logo where it's, you know, the grayed out icon, a player icon. Like, come on, guys, just come to an agreement. Stop doing all this BS back and forth bickering. You're millionaires versus billionaires, which is fine. I get it. It's you're entitled to the earnings that, you know, the sport generates billions and billions of dollars. I understand that, but it's when you start playing victim is when you totally lose.
Here's exactly why you're right. And here's the end of your argument and exactly why you're right. If you ever had to go debate that. When Max Scherzer says he doesn't need mediation because what they offered MLB is fair for both sides, they're forgetting one side. It's not just two sides here. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're just forgetting the side who doesn't get a say, apparently. And who's that? Us. Right? It might be fair to them and them, but what about us? None of this is fair to us. Right? So I don't give a fuck. Right? How about that? How simple is that? I don't give a fuck. Well, get me baseball. Because without us, without us, there's nothing to even debate about. There's nothing to even negotiate without us. So why are we being treated as if we're nothing?
Okay,
done. End
the show. One of the twins, I forget which one, on the Twin Bill podcast, which you can find on NYY News TV.
Because they look identical, but they're not.
The Olsen twins?
Yeah, all right.
That was his full house. Okay. Second, I think. Two?
Had a great point on something I tweeted earlier in the week and said that, you know, no one's talking about it, but think about the stadium workers, you know, that make, they're not going to be able to go to work, and they don't have millions of dollars in the bank to sit around and live off of.
True. That's 100% right.
You know, this is something that nobody ever thinks about. But I mean, it's a casualty of this war here is that, you know, these people that, you know, at Yankee Stadium, you know, maybe I don't feel so bad for them because I missed 3.5 innings trying to get a fucking hot dog. But
listen, I'm not sitting here saying that negotiations and figuring shit out isn't important. Okay, it is. Obviously, things are in place for a reason. But when you get to this point, when you get to a point where now we're talking about possibly delaying the season, and you're going to tweet out about what's fair and who you think is what you think is fair and put blame on other people, that's when I stop caring. Because we've gotten to a point now where I don't give a fuck. Now you're just fucking with me. Now you're fucking with those workers at Yankee Stadium that make what, $15 an hour. That's where you're wrong.
Yeah, so, you know, Max Scherzer got a $40 million deal this year, not because Steve Cohen's worth $14 billion. He got that $40 million deal this year because of the people that go through the turnstiles at Citi Field.
Right.
So,
and also, I mean, a little because Cohen's a billionaire.
Right.
But that actually goes against their shit anyway. They want the owners to be less rich, right? Well, then that's less money for you. That's less money they have to give you to spend stupid fucking money.
Remember, in the end, the employees always get it, okay? They always get it in the end. You want a raise? Your boss didn't make as much money this year. Guess what? You're not getting a raise.
Bada bang.
So, you know, all these guys that want more money in arbitration and they want to go to free agency sooner. You know what? And I get it. They're locked out right now, and I completely understand that. There's really nothing that they can do about it, but you know, if you're going to drill the owners for every little thing and, you know, they're going to look at it, it's a bottom line business. And if there's less on the bottom line, guess who's going to get less than at the end of the day?
Christian, that's everywhere. That's everywhere. I mean, everyone wants to rip Jeff Bezos, right? I think the guy's a fucking prick. I think he's a scumbag, right? But everyone forgets about the millions of people he employs, right? With his billions of dollars. So, yeah, I mean, look. Would it be great to live in a world where the, you know, the rich was a little more evenly distributed? Sure. But people forget that when the rich get richer, so do the middle class. Okay? When the rich get richer, we get paid more.
And, your mother.
And if we lived in a world where the players maybe fought for more money, but didn't do it at the expense of just saying the owners are evil for having that money, I'd agree with them a little more. But the fact that people that we have to, you know, vilify people just because they are billionaires is a joke to me, because those are the people that took the risk of buying the business. And those are the people who employ you. And again, this is why it comes back to us, because we're the people who provide that risk or not. We're the people who show up and either eliminate that risk or don't show up. And it comes full force.
That's why I will never be in 100% agreement for one side or the other.
Exactly.
They're both at fault here.
Exactly.
And the reason why, and we know, look, we can go down this giant rabbit hole. This is the last point I'll make because I want to get to other stuff. Is that, you know, how this has been for the last 4 or 5 years on social media is that you can't see the middle ground. It has to be one side or the other. Well, if you just look at the facts of the case, I guess, the owners locked out the players and they didn't meet with them for 43 days. So if you take nothing else into consideration, the owners are bad.
Yes.
But it's nuanced. There's more nuances to it than just that.
Well, that's everything. Like, because you said, there's nuance.
There's been strikes before. What if the players struck?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Strike.
What if the players went on strike? Are they the bad ones?
Well, can we go back?
Or is it always the evil billionaire?
Well, let's go back. Let's try to do this real quick. SGR, you're pretty good at this stuff.
Huh?
The 94 strike. Do any of us know what led us to that strike?
No. I'm not looking it up either.
Because, like, I don't remember. Was it the same type of thing? I don't know. Maybe.
Look, honestly, what did you think it came down to? It probably came down to money. What does it always come down to?
Yeah.
Why can't the owners strike? Can the owners strike? I have a question. Would you say that the players striking is a risk that the owners take purchasing the business?
Sure.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Yeah, it was labor related.
Yeah, obviously it was labor related.
So look, is there? You're right.
The owners decided to withhold $7.8 million that they were required to pay in a previous agreement. Something fell through.
That kind of sounds like a little one-sided. Whenever I hear something like that, where it's just like they just withheld $7.8 billion, it's always just like, nah, there's probably a little more to it, but it seems as if the owners were at fault. But I don't know. I mean, that's just things to look into and compare it to now.
So what did I say though? Why did they strike? Money. This has to do with his money.
But here's my question.
They wanted a salary cap to mirror what other sports were like at the time. Mm.
And it might have been Scherzer. It could have been somebody else because they're all yapping this week. And it's true. Don't use the luxury tax as a penalty. Set a fucking cap or have nothing at all.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing what one of the players said.
That makes sense though.
This is why I hate the luxury tax. Either set a fucking hard cap or have no or nothing at all.
100%.
I've been a proponent of that for as long as I can remember.
And the problem with the cap is that baseball players get paid very high, okay? Are they higher than NBA?
No.
Okay, but Kevin Durant makes like, okay, but here's the
these
difference.
These guys make like 40, $50 million
a year. Here's why. What if there were as many basketball players as there were baseball players? Okay. Uh-huh. You think they'd be getting paid that much? Now imagine they implement a cap in baseball. But it's going to bring down the market is what I'm saying.
It's not a hard cap in basketball.
Oh, it's not. It's a raffle, right? It's like something with the raffle or what?
I'm not an NBA fan, so I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but if you were with a team for X amount of years, they can pay you more. Then if you go to free agency, you're allowed exemptions to sign certain players.
Okay, but here's my point. In basketball,
they're called max contracts. You could really only sign them with the team that you're
in
with.
In basketball,
that's not true. I have no fucking
idea. How many absolute superstars do you need on your basketball team to have a possibility of winning a championship?
I don't know, two, three,
right? In baseball, how many names do you need to fill in order to have a solid World Series championship caliber team? Whether it be superstars or just some really good players mixed in with some guys who are going to show up every day and be reliable.
What are you talking about?
My point is that you're not going to have teams like the Mets who just spent a shit ton of money on just a couple guys if there's a cap. If they put a hard cap in baseball, there's too many roster spots to fill to make yourself a legitimate team where it doesn't make sense to go spend $40 million on Max Scherzer when you have a cap and you need to allocate that money somewhere else.
They do it in the NFL.
But the NFL doesn't get paid the way baseball players do. Just the quarterback does or the running back.
But that's what you're saying. You're not going to.
But we're talking about players wanting more money. Eventually, what I'm saying is they're going to lower their own market. It's going to backfire.
The percentage of the cap for the quarterback, that's why you got to try to win before the quarterback gets paid.
Yeah, well, where we're at right now, they're going to feel the effects of a cap in like 5-6 years where now they're going to be
I
wish we didn't.
Tax.
It's stupid for the players to fight for that.
Then they need to get rid of the luxury tax. I think it's so stupid.
I agree. 100%.
If you don't want a hard cap, set it at $400 million.
Stupid, yeah.
But don't penalize a team for fucking spending money. And then there's no way that you can force the Indians. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't say that anymore. The Guardians. You can't force the Guardians or the Rays or the Pirates to spend this money on players. Which is what they're supposed to be doing.
Is Pirates offensive yet?
Give it a week.
It should be soon.
All right. So, Cuckboy Martino from SNY.
Love him.
Yeah. I mean, there's really not a lot to talk about. So, we're just going to break down this report. Excuse me. That he had a few days ago that the Yankees and A's were in contact. Excuse me. About... trading for Matt Olson before the lockout. Now, this is an exact quote here. Before the lockout, the Yankees expressed a strong unwillingness to trade prospect Anthony Volpe, or for that matter, Oswald Peraza, to the Oakland A's for first baseman Matt Olson, according to league sources. Now, let's, for the sake of the show, let's take this as gospel here. What the fuck is wrong with Brian Cashman? I want somebody to answer that question first.
The problem is that they just don't learn from their mistakes. They don't
you
learn.
Have now,
I've said it a million times. Who was it? Who was it? Fucking Albert Einstein, right? Said this quote. It's my favorite quote. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. It's one of the greatest quotes of all time. I don't even know if the motherfucker said it, but quoted it's true. I quoted it. Okay. But it's true. And it's not so much the Yankees not winning that has frustrated me over the last handful of years. It's that they don't do smart things. It's exactly right. If they were doing smart things and still not winning, I'd be a little more patient because I'd see something. I'd see a team that wanted to go in the right direction and win. And I'm just not seeing it.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say the Yankees sign Robbie Ray. Let's say they will sign Carlos Gray. Let's say they will sign Freddie Freeman. Do those three moves guarantee a World Series?
No, but they make you pretty fucking...
No, No, they don't, right? No, they don't guarantee anything. Nothing guarantees anything. But if the Yankees lost after having made those three moves, can you live with it a little bit more than... whatever the fuck they're going to do to yes. fill, you know, go sign an off-injured yes. Carlos Rondon, Andrelton Simmons, and maybe they'll get a first baseman.
Yes.
Can you live with it a little bit more? Because then you can say to yourself,
yes.
at least they did what they needed to do. It wasn't good enough. It didn't work out, but at least I can put my head to the pillow and say they did what they were supposed to do.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you are that in love with Matt Olson, and we don't know that they are because we'll get into this in a second, that they might be also interested in Freddie Freeman. You have not one, but two top level shortstop prospects.
You will so get rid of one can, of them?
You can trade one of them. And then if your plan is to wait and see in 2023 or whatever, you can still do that. It doesn't fuck that up for you.
Yeah, my problem is if you were telling me the A's wanted both for Olson and the Yankees said no, I'd say, look, because there's other options out there for first base and Matt Olson isn't going to be what puts this team over the top, fine. But the fact that it seemed like one or the other could get something done and their strong unwillingness to do so, it just proves to me, if true, that they just have their heads so far up their asses, there's no turning back.
So obviously, if this report is true, Carlos Correa is not going to be a New York Yankee.
If true, yeah, I don't see how.
Because wouldn't you say that after shortstop, first base is maybe the biggest glaring need for this team?
Other than a second pitcher, yeah.
And you have two chips there that play the same position, and you don't want to trade either one of them to fill this spot.
Right. It's just...
So if you're telling...
It's just idiotic, man. And it's tough to dissect. It's so tough to dissect the decisions or the rumors we hear out of this team because none of them make sense anymore. None of them.
See, the problem with a report like this is that after everything we've witnessed in the last handful of years... you're led to believe it because one of the Yankees really gone out of their way to trade top prospects to get shit that they need. Yeah, they traded prospects to get Rizzo. They traded prospects to get Joey Gallo because they had to. And these guys, they had to trade them because they were facing a 40-man roster crunch as well. So it wasn't like that he did this out of necessity almost. It's like, well, these guys are going to be exposed to the Rule 5 draft. They might as well get something I need for them.
What did we get rid of for Stanton?
Starlin Castro and I don't even know.
Some bullshit, but, right? It was mostly about it was about money.
It was about money.
So I can't remember the last time.
I mean, Sonny Gray, you want to say the Sonny Gray deal? Okay, I can say that. Maybe. But that was now, that was 5 years ago now.
And we, and if you remember, it was a big gamble because what's his face was Caprillion was part of that deal and he was hurt with Tommy John.
Yeah. And he came up this year and he's shown flashes of being the guy that, yeah, but that was
still,
was.
It was still a deal where Cashman felt the risk was at least even, where he wasn't losing to get something that we need now and giving up the maybe the future for something now. He felt it was just as much of a risk. So he was okay. It didn't hurt his ego too bad until Gray got here and shit the bed.
The problem is that you have to, I need somebody to explain to me if this is true. Why are you holding on to two shortstop prospects? What is the point of this?
Because the Yankees can't live with in a world where one of these guys goes somewhere else and is an absolute superstar, and the other one stays here and ends up being a bust or something
but
like that.
But what if Matt Olson is an absolute superstar?
He is, but he is. It doesn't matter to them. You see, Matt Olson isn't theirs. So as of right now, not doing anything keeps them safe. But if they let one go and make that move, and then that guy is gone, that's on them.
This is my problem that I keep bringing up to people that don't seem to understand it, is that why I would trade everybody in the farm system for established stars is how many times do we have to read this book, watch this movie, whatever analogy you want to use in the last 5 years? You know, Gleyber Torres, what happened to him? Superstar. Now what? Now, I mean, you trade him for a fucking pack of Bazooka Joe.
Yep.
Gavin never heard Sanchez, of that gun, same. But... You never heard of Bazooka Joe? No. Like, Jesus Christ. What
you never heard of Bazooka?
Jesus
Christ. Bazooka, I have.
Bazooka Joe. Yeah, really, dude. Why don't you read a fucking comic book? Why don't you read a book for once in your life?
Stupid.
You're stupid, you fucking jabroni. Anyway, Gary Sanchez, same thing. Superstar.
Again, not so much on them. I mean, Gary looked like a fucking superstar.
So did Gleyber Torres?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I forget. He had, what, 38 fucking home runs?
So we have not seen any of these guys pan out. For their flashes?
Whose fault is it?
The player development.
Who's in player development?
I don't know. Why don't you look it up?
I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy to me.
Kevin Russo.
Because here's the question. Here's the question.
A real person.
I know. Let's say they give up. They pass on all the deals to give up Peraza and Volpe. They're keeping them, right? How much confidence do you have, honestly, as a fan, that they will come up and play to potential anyway in this system?
I have 0%. My confidence is
zero. Zero.
All right, let's say that they're going to do what we all loathe that them to do, and that's go sign a jerk off to play shortstop for the next year and a half and then give the job to Volpe. Do I think Volpe can be an all-star, a guy that takes the league by storm for 2 years? Yeah. Do I think he's going to be the Yankees shortstop for the next 10 years? No, because nothing that the Yankees have done for the last 5 years has shown me, outside of Aaron Judge, that they are producing quality players out of their farm system and quality players that you can build a team around.
Correct. 100%. And nothing's going to change that until they prove otherwise. So the fact that they're sitting here and holding on to these guys is just proof that they're just in denial.
So that you want to transition off of that and say, well, if Oakland wants one of our shortstops and we don't want to trade him, which is the height of stupidity for me, because if you wanted to say, look, I always try, when we doing this show, I always try to rationalize the Yankees' thinking. It doesn't mean that I agree with it, but I try to rationalize it and see what they're thinking and why they're thinking it. So if you want to tell
annoying.
Me,
it almost gets to a point where it's annoying you do it.
Well, you do, because
you do it to me because you don't argue your point. You just argued the Yankees' point, which is a fair thing. But you do because it. You so just wanna get- what I'm trying to say is, before you say what you're going to say, you're very good at it. So if your point is that you can't even rationalize here, this is coming from someone who finds a way to rationalize with everything.
But if you wanted to tell me that Peraza was this ridiculous center field prospect and you can't let him go because he's drawing comps to Mickey Mantle and Volpe's a shortstop and you didn't want to trade either one of those guys, as much as I disagree with holding on to your prospects at this point in time, I could say, all right, one's a shortstop, one's a center fielder. We definitely need a shortstop. We definitely need a center fielder. I can see why the Yankees don't want to give up either one of these guys. But they're both shortstops. So why not get rid of one? Pick the guy that you like better.
To the Yankees, here's where I would somehow find some rationale behind it all. And it's that for you, personally, SGR, you personally, would you rather Matt Olson or Freddie Freeman?
Freddie Freeman.
Christian?
You know my answer to that.
Okay, so I think if the Yankees truly feel that Freddie Freeman is a realistic option, they're not going to sit here and tell the A's that they can just have whoever. And they're going to be unwilling to do it because regardless, why would you give up any prospects that are that high up on your list when you have an option that would be, at least we agree, would be better?
But here's the
That's where it makes
this.
Sense. But we don't know how realistic that is that Freddie Freeman is right. available.
Oh, he's definitely available. He's a free agent.
Well, you know what I mean.
And
that
why
the Yankees would spend the money to do it.
There it is.
Right, that they're
there
interested.
It is.
Right.
Do we trust the Yankees? You don't want to spend the prospect. Everything costs something. Right, whether it be right. prospects or money. The Yankees don't want to spend the cost in prospects. Will they? And that's fine. You don't want to do that. That's fine because when you have Freddie Freeman available to you, if you're really in love with Peraza, you're really in love with Anthony Volpe, you can't let them go, and you don't want to trade either one for Matt Olson, then you have to spend the fucking money to get Freddie Freeman. And do we trust them to write the fucking check that it's going to take to get Freddie Freeman here?
No. So look, let's just play a little game because this is where I'm torn. This is where I'm like. Very torn, okay? If we play the game of stupid, smarter Yankees, right? And we say Yankees for everything. It's easy to see first base. I really don't think as stupid as the Yankees are, I don't think Voit's going to be our first baseman. Rizzo, right? That's going to be their
scuttlebutt. I'm hearing a lot of scuttlebutt. He's going back to Chicago.
Come on.
That's a lot of things. I've read, there's like 3 or 4 articles about it.
Block that the light.
There could be a reunion in place there. So he might even not even be an option for the Yankees.
Okay. Well, at the very least, Chicago's going to drive the money up then. But let's just be somewhat fair and say they'll go with Rizzo. Who's their shortstop option? I mean, who is it honestly going to be?
Anthony Volpe in 2 years.
No, but now I'm saying for right now.
Oh, they'll just sign somebody like Andrelton Simmons. Or
do you really think they're going to do that and just try and get away with it? Man, that.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Try to get away with it?
So you're telling me you'll buy tickets? You'll buy tickets and go see that team?
I might go watch them once, but I would maybe not try to get out there 5 or 6 times this year.
It's just proof, though, that they just don't give a shit. How many times are they going to reset the wait for the luxury tax to reset or do this or wait for this offseason? I mean, SGR gives them hope every year that no, this is going to be the year they're going to start spending, it. And it seemed that way almost. It was almost like Cashman came out, we're going to fucking spend money, and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, nope. Now we're just hearing all the bullshit. Unless that's all it is bullshit. Maybe Cashman is just playing the game.
Well, what's the game? Because you need a shortstop. You're down to Story and Correa. You didn't want Seager. You didn't want Simeon. You didn't want Baez. You didn't want any of these guys. Now you're down to 2. Are you hoping that Story falls into your lap for like, you know, like you can give him like a 2-year, you know, opt out after the first year deal for $70 million or whatever. And then you can just give the job to Volpe. Cause honestly, like we say this all the time, the Yankees can afford to do whatever the fuck they want. If the Yankees really wanted to go and give Freddie Freeman $180 million, give Carlos Correa $320 million, and give Aaron Judge his fucking extension. They could have done it already. They could have done it the second they were allowed to do it. But for whatever reason, they're hesitant to do it. So they don't want to spend money. They don't want to spend prospects. How do you expect to build a fucking championship team then if you're two biggest assets, you don't want to spend either one of them?
I agree.
That's what's frustrating. That's really what the most frustrating part of all this is. If you told me that the Yankees were dead set on not spending any money, they don't want to add another nine-figure contract, but they were willing to trade anybody in their farm system to get stars, to get guys they needed, you'd be like, all right, they're doing something.
But then they're not willing to do anything.
But on the other hand, you don't even have the confidence in them to go out there and make a sense. Look, if Freddie Freeman wants 6 for $180, an AAV around $30 million, so what if he's going to be 38 years old for the next 3 or 4 years to stick Freddie Freeman? Think about this, bro, and I'm going to make this point again in a little bit. You stick Freddie Freeman in between Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah, right in there. Stick him right in there.
Yeah. You want to talk about a raw?
Stick him in raw.
Ooh yeah. Raw. I don't care. They need protection.
They do need protection. Raw.
They do.
Raw. Think about that 2-3-4 right there. You want to go Judge, Freeman, Giancarlo?
I'll fucking go Yank to that. I'll go Yank to that. That's a great point, dude. I didn't even think about that. That's sexy, man. That's a sexy fucking lineup, dude. That's an all-star lineup. You could just put him out there for the all-star team that year.
And I understand people want to argue, Olson's younger. He might be better. But here's also the reason why I need Freddie Freeman on this team. There's two reasons why. Number one, yes, motherfucker's got a ring. Who on this current team has a ring right now?
Is Brett Gardner
count? Wait a second.
I'm pretty sure, and somebody can fact check me on this. You guys can do it when you watch the stream here. Pop it up there. I'm not gonna look it up right now.
It's probably already up after thinking about that lineup.
I don't think anybody on this roster has a ring right now, which was one of the things that allured me so much to Carlos Correa. I don't care that he cheated to get it. He's got it.
He got it.
He can walk in there with the hardware, put Chapman. It down on the fucking Chapman. Table and...
Chapman's got one.
Oh, that's okay. Chapman.
Yeah, but...
He tried not to win it.
He tried not to. He tried really hard to give that.
His fucking arm was about to fall off.
He tried really hard not to get that bad boy.
Chapman might be the only Yankee that has a ring right now, but that's one out of 26 guys. Don't you want to add some championship pedigree to this team?
Yeah.
That's why you trusted the Yankees, even after that you knew that they weren't so good anymore, is because they still had Jeter and Rivera and Pettit and Pisa, guys that knew how to fucking win. I love Aaron Judge to death. Does he know how to win, though?
Nope.
Does anybody in that locker room know how to win?
Nope. The problem is not who has the ring. The problem is the guys who are expected to lead this team are not winners, right? They have to become winners. Chapman is not looked at as a leadership type of guy. So he could have 20 rings, okay? He's not the captain of the clubhouse. Do we need Judge to get one? We need Judge to go out there, fucking drop his balls, and fucking win a championship.
And he tried. I mean, you have to give him, say that he really did everything in his power last year to do that.
Of course. He had a great season.
And what's the second reason why I need Freddie Freeman on this team?
Because he's a lefty.
Well, no, lefty. Not even that. I need the Yankees to show me that they're the fucking Yankees and go out there and drop their fucking balls on a table, steal somebody from another fucking organization, write the fucking check to get him to play here.
A lot of balls talk.
Yeah.
What I really need to see, and you could say, oh, they did Gerrit Cole 2 years. I just feel like Gerrit Cole was something that even the Yankees weren't going to fuck up.
Right.
Because Brian Cashman's been after him since he was in fucking college. They drafted him.
Right.
Right. And then he went back into the draft.
He said it for years.
He was not going to let Gerrit Cole get away from him again.
Right.
That's why he begged Hal for the fucking money.
Well,
But I need the Yankees to flex and show me that they're the fucking Yankees again. And getting Freddie Freeman would do that.
100%. Whether that's the final move or not, that needs to be one of the moves.
Look, I absolutely, I can't say this enough, with enough certainty, I do not want a fucking stopgap shortstop on this team. No way in hell. But if you sign Freddie Freeman, I'll only put my head through the wall once instead of twice.
Yes, it would make it a lot easier to live with, for sure.
So again, there was a couple tweets out there. The Yanks have interest. They're going to go after him after the fucking lockout ends. Do it. Sign Freddie Freeman. This is such a no-brainer. Like, I look at certain things. Like, we talk about Robbie Ray, $23 million AAV, hitting free agency at 34. So he's not even going to be an albatross at an old man not living up to his contract to put behind Gerrit Cole. Things that you just look at it as no-brainers. Signing a World Series champion, one of the best fucking first basemen in the league, to a reasonable – and yes, $30 million a year is fucking reasonable for Freddie Freeman to stick in between fucking Judge and Stanton.
They probably wouldn't even get that right.
And what – yeah, they probably have him lead off. Probably have him lead fucking off. Yankees. While – and on top of that, being one of those, fuck you, where do Yankees move, suck our dick, where do Yankees, we're taking this guy, type of moves, it boggles my mind that it wasn't done already. Like, it's such a no-brainer. And if you're telling me that you had Tino Martinez playing first base or Mark Teixeira even towards the end of their careers, but they still held value somehow and you didn't want to do it, again, like, I try to rationalize these things, but your option is fucking Luke Voit. It's Luke Voit.
Crazy.
I know I shit on Luke Voit so much, and he's taking the brunt of my anger.
Ooh.
But think about it. Dang. If you're look at serious it. About Would winning you look a at world, it? If you're serious about winning a fucking World Series, how do you put Luke Voit at first base?
It's not gonna
when
happen.
You could. When you could have gotten Matt Olson or fucking Freddie Freeman or it even Anthony.
That won't happen. I can almost promise you.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I can. There's one thing I'm confident of. Voit will not Yankees. Be the first baseman. They can't
smarter,
do it.
Smarter Yankees. Luke Voit's the opening day first baseman.
I'm going smart here, dude.
Oh, that's
because
ballsy.
There's still so many ways they can fuck up after Voit that they'll just fuck up somewhere else.
That's ballsy.
It
Chris.
Is ballsy. Shaved ballsy. Did I ruin it?
Shaved ballsies?
Yeah.
All right, might as well give the read.
I mean, shit, I thought Ryan was doing the read.
Shaved ball. Ryan's going to do it. He's
I'll do the read good. Because support for NYYST is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's groom below the waist grooming.
Okay. All right. Manscaped, okay, offers precision, okay, my predecessor here, precision, okay, engineered tools for your family jewels, okay. All right, Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the performance package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. We got Joe Namath here. Joe Namath, what do you got to say about Manscaped?
Yeah, well, I love Manscaped. I love it. I love Manscaped so much. And today we are offering 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 2020NYYST at manscaped.com. That's 20NYYST at manscaped.com.
All right. Thank you, Joe. And now let me look at that there. If my math is correct, okay, that's about, okay, carry the one, carry the three there. That's about 8 million balls that we just saved. Okay. I think that's 8 million balls. All right. Joe Namath, it is the Super Bowl week where we have Super Balls. Okay. Manscaped.com. 20NYYST. back after this. Okay.
Manscaped's not getting a better read than that.
No, no way.
Super balls.
Super balls.
Super Bowl weekend.
Got a big show planned for Super Bowl weekend. we're going to do our Monument Park draft, and then I'll explain it more next week, but that's what we're going to do on next week's show, our Monument Park draft, which led me to this poll. Now, I know you guys have seen it. There's been different variations of it. Which player would you put on the current Yankees? Right, and it's usually like the core four or like Hall of Famers. I wanted to take a different perspective from it.
Right.
I wanted to look at areas of need for the Yankees, right? So we would say it's shortstop, first base, probably catcher, pitching, right? Center field. So what I didn't want to do is I wanted to use the dynasty team, right? I wanted to use those dynasty teams, but I didn't want to use any of the core four guys. So that takes out catcher and shortstop, obviously, and close, you know, Mariano and Andy Pettit. So I tried to use some different names. So I came up with these four guys. Tino Martinez, which I think we would all say the Yankees need a first baseman, right? David Cohn, Yankees definitely need starting pitching help. Bernie Williams, definitely need a fucking center fielder. And Jeff Nelson. I was trying to – I don't know. To me, Jeff Nelson after Mariano Rivera was probably the most valuable guy that was here throughout all the titles. So I would say, you know, starting pitching, relief pitching, center field, and first base were the areas we looked at. If you took away, you know, the core four, right? So Bernie Williams ran away with this poll because it said, which of these four dynasty Yankees would you put on the 2022 team? Bernie Williams ran away with the poll. He got 59% of the vote. This was super scientific. We had almost 1,700 votes on this. David Cohn finished in second with 26%. Tino, 13%. And then Jeff Nelson got like 30 votes. So he got 2% of the vote here.
I'm pretty sure I'll go back to it, but I'm pretty sure I went with Tino.
There was no 3 a.m. vote dump for Jeff Nelson.
Okay.
So
he get kicked off of YouTube.
He lost. So I knew Jeff Nelson was gonna lose. I don't like doing three choice polls. I don't know why. So that's why I stuck him there.
Yeah.
So we'll go around the room here. And where did you vote, SGR? What was your rationale of thinking here?
Who's the cutest?
Yeah, I like that. That was probably the easiest way to do it. I think that's how Cashman does it.
No, we know Cashman goes by who has the most Tommy John surgeries.
True.
Well, I narrowed it down to two choices. I narrowed it down to Cohn and Bernie Williams because I felt that those two would be the best fits for the team today. But when you look at what Bernie Williams could provide, a switch hitting center fielder, and it makes you think, were the Yankees trying to kind of replicate Bernie Williams in Aaron Hicks?
Of course.
Was he someone that they were trying to kind of have that resemblance with the success they had with Bernie Williams? Because look at what Bernie Williams brought for this team in the post.
Well, you know, the big difference between Bernie Williams and Aaron Hicks is
Bernie What's Williams that? Is good and he stays healthy.
Well, there it is. Bernie Williams plays fucking baseball and Aaron Hicks is busy with Topgolf.
Yeah, you're right, man. If you look at his games played, it's 140 almost every single year at least.
Aaron Hicks has played 140 games since 2011. Yeah,
but you're right, Ryan. They saw a guy in Aaron Hicks that profiled the same way with a probably stronger arm. So if Hicks – look, let's be fair for a second. If Hicks could stay healthy – stay on the field. He's not a terrible player for the contract he signed.
Yeah, man. Look, we were definitely trying to do something along.
We were discussing this, obviously not last. Maybe in 2019, I think we had this discussion. Maybe 2018, and we obviously the gap is the size of the Grand Canyon between him and Mike Trout. But we were discussing Hicks as possibly the second best center fielder in the American League at one point.
Yeah.
So yeah, when he's healthy and on the field, he's productive. He's a solid baseball player, but
maybe not where the Yankees bat him and expect things from him. Maybe if the Yankees would utilize him properly, he'd be
smarter Yankees. They don't they don't put Aaron Hicks in the best positions.
Like, dude, a healthy Aaron Hicks batting seventh or eighth is not a bad player for what they signed him for. I'll take that. But they bat him like third when he's hitting well. And he's healthy.
And Bernie Williams, no. Career on base percentage, .381.
Wow. Ooh. What was his career batting average?
.297.
Bernie's one of those guys. He's right. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he's like right there.
He's a fringe. If he was nice enough, he'd get in.
Oh, Bernie's a nice guy.
I know. He was a nice guy.
I think Bernie's end of his career
killed him.
When he held him back from being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're going Burnaby? Burnaby?
Yeah.
I forget how to say his full name.
For sure.
Burnaby.
Burnaby, that's his full name?
Yeah.
If I was going
Burnaby Williams.
If I was going based on skill alone, it would probably be Bernie also. But I had to go Tino here because for the one of the reasons that we always talk about every year through those dynasties, everything. When we talk about the Yankees and a championship team, they have a first baseman that is a staple to the lineup. And the Yankees haven't had that. And I need that. So I went with Tino because I need someone there.
I mean, obviously you take Jeff Nelson out of the equation. We knew he wasn't going to win. And you can make an intriguing – if all these guys were in their prime hitting free agency and the Yankees were going to sign one of them, you can make an intriguing case for each one of them. Now, if I were to rank areas in need for this team, I would probably go first base, starting pitching, center field, right? And obviously you got Tino Martinez there. He's a guy that can hit 35, 40 home runs, plays a – you know, he's a leader, plays great defense, and that's my number one area of need. Are you looking at David Cone?
Mm.
To put behind Gerrit Cole?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
Cone would have been my second option.
I mean, we were talking about getting Booner's sticking Freddie Freeman in between Judge and Stan. Now, if this was a realistic thing, and you get a prime David Cone to stick behind Gerrit Cole?
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely don't need to pop no blue chew for that.
No.
Right. No. You go Coner. You have a Coner boner.
I have a Coner
boner. And their last names are very close to one another. Good marketing with that, with Cone and Cole.
True.
The C&C.
CC.
See, you remember the CNC Music Factory? The CNC Strikeout Factory.
And the M&M Boys?
CNC Boys?
Boom. I just marketed it right there.
You marketed it.
I marketed it.
I'm going to tweet it now.
I'm going to tweet it too later. But ultimately, even though I said this was third on my list of priorities for the Yankees, how do you not go with fucking Bernie Williams, dude?
Mm.
Right.
I told you my rationale.
I mean, how do you not? Bernie Williams was just so good. In his prime.
Yeah, you got to go. Bernie.
And you're talking, and Ryan, a career .297 hitter. So he had plenty, and that was dragged down by the later years.
Yeah, dude, he must have been hitting .310, .315 in his prime then.
He had years of what, like .330, right? .335.
Yeah,
he was
so underrated. So
.342 and .99.
Right? And what was his home run total? It was 25 to 30 every year, pretty much in his prime?
Every year he was getting in the 20s. By the end, like 2002, his power started to drop off a little bit. But even 2002, he still drove in 102 RBI, but he only had 19 dingies.
But his RBIs were always around 100, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yes. Every year, pretty much, right around 100.
And like I said, well, I was going to bring this up later on. You put Freddie, but imagine you put a prime Bernie Williams in between Stanton and Judge.
Mm.
Switch hitter?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, dude. A lot of people made that point in the poll, and I'll read a few comments in a minute. Of course, a lot of this is nostalgia, right? And you can make an excellent point. And if I would put it second place, as much as I hate Luke Voit, to put fucking David Cone, because if you look at a prime David Cone and a prime Gerrit Cole, if we're playing this game, where are you getting a better 1-2 punch? Maybe you want to say it's in Queens? All right, where are you getting a better 1-2 punch than in the American League then? Like, that's a move that wins you a World Stack and wins you a World Series right there.
That's true.
But I just remember what Bernie Williams was. Bernie Williams is so underappreciated by this fan base because he came in before the core four. He was part of the losing, but also he marked, you know, the turnaround. He was the beginning of that, but he was on those teams that were fucking terrible. He was the beginning of the resurgence. So he doesn't get a lot of the limelight, and he wasn't there. You know, a lot of the lore of the core four was they got that fifth World Series, and Bernie wasn't here in 2009. He got phased out for a guy like fucking Kenny Lofton. You know, nobody remembers that.
Yeah,
I do.
So, you know, he doesn't get the, it's hard to believe this, but Bernie doesn't get the respect that he fucking deserves.
Absolutely not. He doesn't.
So if you take his defense into account and what he did at the plate, he's the best. And, I mean, to me, he's the best option available if you were only going to sign one of those guys.
Yeah.
You shore up your outfield. You take away this team has no, does this team have a switch hitter in their fucking lineup? No.
Aaron Hicks. Just Hicks.
No, fuck Aaron Hicks, dude.
So no.
Besides him, no.
Do they have a healthy switch hitter?
No.
It's Bernie Williams for me. All day.
Never going to argue
with Bernie. And then his postseason performance too. He's got a season's worth of postseason games, and he put up like the exact line that he did in his better years.
Bernie Williams is fucking clutch, dude. I mean,
top five most home runs in the postseason.
So we asked the fans to drop a few comments, and actually, before we do that, I want to shout out the OG Patrick.
Hello, fellas.
I don't know if he wants us to reveal it here, but he's not feeling well. He let me know that earlier. I just want to, you know, he's the OG. We want to send Patrick well wishes and a speedy recovery.
We don't know if you want us to reveal this here, but we're going to anyway. We love you. Yeah.
I didn't say what his problem was.
Oh.
Just that he's not feeling well.
Okay, dude.
And then we wish him well.
We love you.
We know he's going to be listening to the show.
Always, dude.
Yeah, man. You're the man. You're the man.
And Patrick, if you're planning on coming to America this year, we're planning on having an event at Yankee Stadium. There will be more details to come on that. If you're coming to America this year, you're coming to the fucking event. I don't want to hear any bullshit about it, Patrick. All right?
And then when you get there, all I need to hear you say is, hello, fellas, in person.
All right, so we'll just read off a couple comments here because, you know, I like to pay it off. Okay. So Patrick's comment here. Okay. Bernie every time. I seen him play at the old stadium. He's one of my favorite players of all time. Okay.
Boom. Done.
Shit.
Brad Jewis. It's J E W I S S. I don't know how else to say it.
That's almost crossing a line.
You didn't have to.
He says, Tino. He says Tino and Paul were the clubhouse enforcers. Tino would not stand for any laziness in the current clubhouse. So I guess he's voting for Tino Martinez on there.
That's me, dog.
Like his reason.
All right, we'll read at Tenacious 5. I went with Cone. Cole Severino and Cone is just too tempting to pass up for a playoff run.
Can't argue.
And then we'll end it here. We'll read Eric Bardis's tweet. He said, thought about going starting pitching, but ultimately went with Bernie. You got to think if they can get Story and Freeman. All right, let's take a fucking Xanax there and relax.
Pump the brakes. Okay.
But he says, you got to think if they can swing Story and Freeman after the lockout and had Bernie in center field, they'd have a chance to win even with me on the bump. Mm. All right.
Okay.
Shit.
All right.
Okay.
Another Bernie here. There's a lot of Bernies, man. Everybody, Bernie ran away with it. A lot of the comments, definitely pro burn. Burn, baby, burn.
And where is Jeff Nelson's burner account? Did he comment on it saying, yeah, I go Nelson here.
I think Nelson's the guy.
I like Nelson. He was a good pitcher for us. He was really good. I really like Jeff Nelson, what he did. I might call him over and be bringing part on this coaching staff. I don't know. I might.
All right. So are we good? We're good? We're good fellas.
Yeah, because I'm dying right now.
Are we good?
So
good
Jeff fellas? Nelson technically got shit. He got 34 votes.
What did I say? I said he got about 30 votes.
How many kids does Jeff Nelson have?
Huh?
How many kids does Jeff Nelson have?
Is this a joke or do you
know? No, 33.
Oh, he saw it on Twitter and he had all his family vote for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to mess.
So next week, we definitely want everybody to check out every episode of the NYYST podcast, but we're going to have a lot of fun next week. So we don't really have to do any more hypotheticals and maybe a miracle will happen. Probably not, but we're doing the Monument Park draft. I'm going to have to figure out exactly how it's going to work, but we're going to take everybody's number that's retired and maybe a couple guys who have plaques but aren't retired, and we're going to draft them. And then you're going to vote on it. After the draft is done, we'll set up the brackets and you're going to vote on who the greatest Monument Park Yankee is of all time. And, you know, everybody's going to get butt hurt when Babe Ruth wins because, you know.
Fuck Babe Ruth, dude. Fuck that motherfucker. If I get first pick, I'm telling you right now, not taking Babe Ruth.
No, I don't think it'll necessarily be him. You have Derek Jeter in there, too.
If anyone.
You think recency bias?
I'm telling you right now, I'm not taking Ruth, so. Fuck him.
You never see. This is what the thing with you is. You don't play to win.
Fuck him, dude. No, you didn't I play on my own merit, dude.
Is Roger? Is Roger Peckinpah in there?
No, he's not. Okay. And just to follow up, Chris, you even lose trivia games not on this show because remember when you and I were on the Even Odds podcast?
Yeah.
And you lost.
I won. I definitely won.
You didn't fucking win.
We'll have
dude.
To go back to that. We'll have to go back to that. I think I'm
okay. All right, so thank you very much for your continued support of the show and listening to episode 268 of the NYYST podcast. Follow us on Twitter at NYYST_podcast. So we definitely got a couple of good, fun theme shows planned to get us through spring training, if there is spring training. But like I said, don't fuck with March 31st, please. Like, that's my one plea to the owners. That's my one plea to the owners and the players. Just don't fuck with that day.
Players.
The players. Uh-huh.
So and then
Fred,
we got Fred. We're also gonna do volume two of Guess That Yankee, which Chris will lose in spectacular fashion again.
Wow. Okay. I love Guess That Yankee. Such a good game.
So we'll definitely do that. So definitely some things to look forward to without baseball while we're in the lockout. So we'll keep you here. We'll keep you entertained. Thank you very much for your continued support. SGR.
Go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.
NYYST. This is New York. Yankee sports talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences. Knock it out the park. This is New York. Yankee sports talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York. Yankee sports talk. Call me New York. Yankee sports talk. Record rain or shine. Grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST. You're hanging with the fellas.